That looks hard. I wouldn't fight him. Not for 50.
Oh, well, maybe I could just do this for 14.
There you go.
No, I don't think I need for 14.
Wait, how full is that?
That old man.
Oh, it's an easy fight. I will definitely win it. I don't want to play for. I don't want to waste the time for 14 points. Anything less than 20 is not worth playing. It's too long.
Really?
Yeah.
Too long?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm. All I could think of was when they're in the Chateau d'If. Did you see the movie Count of Monte Cristo?
Yeah, the Chateau d'If, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we should be out of here in like 7 years. And the guy's like, ha, 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 7 years? He's like, why? Do you have some sort of pressing appointment? Some sort of huge engagement? Now, if only we had someone to open the show that had any amount of focus that wasn't playing a video game separate from what's going on. Greetings, true believers, to a special edition of the Puzzle Warriors 3. In this episode, we will be discussing making the 2-star to 3-star transition in Marvel Puzzle Quest, giving you some tips and guidelines about how to make the jump from mostly 2-star characters to start building up your 3-star characters and eventually, shifting entirely to a 3-star and better roster, bearing in mind that there are some 2-stars you will probably never lose.
Never use?
Well, that as well.
No way, you're a Bagman fiend. I know how you are.
With me, as always, is the Woolly One, also known as Craig, and Chaos 72, better known as Ray. And this is Ian, or Sneaky Beat 15, all from the Longbox Heroes Alliance.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, so this topic seems to be one of the more frequently discussed topics because it's definitely, it's not as straightforward as the beginning. You know, going from 1-star to 2-star is pretty clear cut. We tell you where to find the ISO, where to find the easy covers, and boom, you get some 2-stars, mm-hmm. You level them up, and you're ready to move on to this transition.
Yeah, your transition to 2-stars, you can do that while just opening, like, right. The standard tokens.
Right, you know. Or just playing through the prologue. They will provide you with enough 2-star stuff to get started.
Yep.
This, like any transition, planning and preparedness is always helpful. Know what you're going to get into at the 3-star level. Know the characters. Have an idea of some of their powers. Which ones you target. Have some in mind that you'd like to target. Have some in mind that you believe are going to be exceptionally useful. And don't anticipate moving away from the 2-stars too soon, because they're still going to be, they're going to carry the most weight for you, especially now that you're able to champion them. So, part of the transition, I believe, is deciding how many 2-stars you're going to want to maintain on your roster moving forward to 3-star and 4-star levels. This is super variable. This is definitely, everyone has a little different spin. I like, 6 is a number that has worked for me. That gives me 2 teams of 3 that are pretty interchangeable. And most of the 2-star characters, I think, are decent.
Yeah, there's only a couple that are really, Bagman comes to mind.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
He's really the only unusable.
Right. He's the only one that I think is terrible. Unusable. There are some that I think are exceptional, and then everybody else is, right in the mix.
Right. So basically, if you're looking at your 2-stars, you're going to want to focus, like we said, on 6. I have 8.
Sure.
That I kept, but 6 to 8, I think that's a good number.
They are handy moving forward. A lot of the PvE events will have a 2-star, a 3-star, and a 4-star required character that can get you some big bonus points moving towards your prize goals. So having some 2-stars that will inevitably be required is handy, so you don't miss out on that opportunity to get those points. It's just a matter of how much roster space you have.
Yeah.
Is what all this boils down to, and what I am pitching to you in this episode is under the impression that you want to minimize the amount of spending that you're going to do to increase your roster slots.
Right. If you have money that you want to throw in and
get hero points. It's a great game, and they would be thrilled to earn your dollars. And goodness knows, I've spent dollars getting those hero points to get me some more roster slots. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's any, certainly no shame in it. And if you want to do it that way, then by all means, disregard a good portion of what I have to say and just go nuts and recruit everybody all the time. But again, I'm saying this is based on the idea that you would like to do this at little to no monetary cost. I guess where to begin? I would say again, decide which two stars you like, who are the best. If you played through the prologue fully, you should be well on your way to a fully covered level 94 Storm. Same thing with two-star Thor. And from there, I would say the rest is up to you. Those two are by far the ones your tank. Storm's blue power is devastating. And, you know, you can really pick and choose from there. I think original Black Widow.
One of the best utility characters.
Absolutely. She's a must have in my book. But, like, again, I'm very flexible. Two-star Cap is excellent. Dakin's not bad at a two-star level.
See, I still use him. He's in my Deadpool Daily threesome.
Okay.
I always use him. And I think I'm the only person in the world who loves two-star Captain Marvel, but she's been on my team forever.
No, I like her. I have her.
Sonic Boom is one of my favorite powers. Sure.
She's a solid character. In the same thinking, I've probably one of the only people that I know that thinks two-star Hawkeye is great. I think two-star Hawkeye is great. I know he's not that powerful, but I think his speed shot ability is excellent. It really can change things up. And his two countdown abilities are okay. Even two-star Bullseye, fine. Magneto, fine.
Yeah, the Magneto I was going to mention because I use him with Storm. I use him as a utility. I don't use him to do a lot of damage.
No.
His red I do, I guess.
Yeah, the red is a fine attack. The pink pumps blue into Storm.
Yeah,
exactly. And the blue does nothing.
Right. I don't ever use his blue.
No.
Which one's Iron Hammer?
That's
the blue one. Yeah. That's the blue one. Yeah. Magnetic Flux, I think you said.
Is the red.
The red?
Yeah.
It's good because
damage.
If you max it out, it clears a good, like, over a quarter of the board, and it gains AP as it does so.
Doesn't just do damage?
Right.
Wow.
It actually gives you AP. See? So.
Everybody's good. I think Ares, his damage output, his green is excellent. His red is okay, and his...
Yeah, when he's hurt, his red is excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of good two-star options out there. Even Moonstone's not that bad. Like, she gets mocked a lot, but her photon blasts are perfectly adequate. Her control shift is excellent. I still don't understand, and I never will, because I'm lazy and slow, what gravity shift does, but it seems to, like, swizzle one, it's like the Devil Dino little hands thing. It moves one color somewhere else.
It moves one special tile to another place. If there are no special tiles, it just blows up some damage.
It blows up one tile and does damage, and I tell you, that's the one that I hate. I hate it when she does the gravity thing, and I don't have special tiles out. Because it does damage.
Yeah.
If I'm fighting the computer and she does that and I have a special tile, okay, she moves it, whatever. I don't care that happened. It's when you don't have a special tile out.
Control shift is the one that drives me absolutely bananas. Because I always play with Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and then she converts them to her.
Yeah.
And she does it over and over, and they keep making them, and she keeps converting them, and it drives me batty.
So there you go. Find the number of two stars that work for you and commit to that. So, you know, if you've decided, you know, and again, like I said, if you want to be flexible, if you want to get more, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there's going to be, I think if you want to keep it on the cheap, decisions have to be made. And, you know, you say, oh, but I keep getting all these awesome bacon covers. Well, sorry, it's 250 ISO. Sell them up.
The one that we didn't touch was Human Torch.
Oh, yeah. Two-star Johnny Torch. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's solid.
He does a decent amount of damage.
Yeah. Yep. His Red Inferno. Yeah, Fireball, yeah. His Black Inferno attack. Put some heavy duty strike tiles, attack tiles. Someone explain the difference to me. Which one are the fists that do damage on their own?
Those are attack tiles.
He puts attack tiles on the board. Strike tiles amplify the damage you do when doing matches. And his flame jet, if you're not using someone else who uses green, you can keep pumping the green into it because it drains some green every time it goes off. It does some nice sustainable damage.
Right.
Plus, it's good practice if you want to get to a 3-star Torch, because he's one of the lazy characters. There's no difference between 2-star and 3-star.
I guess we didn't mention Wolverine either.
Oh, good old 2-spandex Wolverine. He's fine, too.
He's all right. He's on the lower end of my list.
Yeah.
But I have him.
He's like
I never used.
He's like every other Wolverine. He does some slashy damage. He does some heavy-duty slashy damage, and he heals.
His red is really decent.
Yeah.
And he's good to use with Dokken because... Dokken taken. Because he Trey uses Warrior. Green. His green, you know, Dokken changes that into strike tiles.
Right.
So he's useful with that.
They do complement each other in that way. I didn't forget anybody else, did I?
I don't think so. I think we covered everybody.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good ones. There are not too many bad ones.
There's a good variety of combinations.
So picking a couple teams that have the rainbow covered, you know, so you have all six colors throughout their powers, that's probably a good idea. I use Thor, Fishnets, the original Black Widow, and the two-star Captain Marvel, two-star Ms. Marvel together quite a bit. They're probably my highest two-star team, so.
Mm.
But yeah, not a whole lot of bad ones in the two-star range.
Right, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of combos that you can find in there, and they're all good. So, you know, just know what you want to do. Proceed with focus. That is my opening tip. Let's see, what else makes the transition easy or easier? Oh, so here's what you're going to find. Inevitably, when you're opening tokens, you're going to get some 3-stars. They're just going to happen. You know, it's just an organic process of the game, unless you don't open tokens, and that's weird and confusing. So, like I said, go to Marvel Puzzle Quest Wiki or go to, you know, any sort of resource site like that. Find out who the 3-stars are. And at first, I would say, you know, again, whoever you end up just getting the most covers for naturally, try to focus on them. If they happen to be the Deadpool Daily that day, make sure you spend the, you know, make sure you boost your characters. Make sure you spend the health packs to win that enchilada and get them another token. Because someone at that level is going to make getting everybody else to that next level that much easier.
Right.
Because until, on one of the games that I play, I'm in this zone, and I didn't really, quote unquote, mean for it to happen, but of all my guys, Gray Suit Black Widow, 3-star Iron Man, and Deadpool are by far the most covered and strongest. They don't make the best team. They don't have a lot of colors that overlap, which is nice. Deadpool's got his purple that hurts everything, and they work out fine. I was able to boost them all to a nice, you know, between like 120, 140, somewhere in that range, and it has accelerated my ability to really clean up in some fights more so than my maxed out 2-stars ever did.
And Deadpool's a character that's just, is a 3-star character that's good to get. Because as soon as you get whales, it's a game changer. You can start using that to finish off some fights that you never thought
you'd be able to. Sure, it's definitely an in case of emergency break glass kind of power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But speaking to that, your Deadpool daily quest, that is kind of your lifeblood as far as moving up. You're ending up with, what, 4,200 ISO plus some taco tokens plus...
I thought it was 4,200 with, so it's 3,700, I'm pretty sure. And then you get two taco tokens.
Okay.
So they're going to be at least 250 ISO each, unless right. they're characters you can use.
Sure.
So it ends up, if you're selling them, yeah, it's about 4,200, I think.
Okay. So that's good. That's a ton of ISO once a day. Plus you get that, if you can do it, you've got that 3-star token, that 3-star guaranteed cover. That you're going to pump right into your 3-stars and help you take that next step.
Well, even if you can't play the required character, and then to get the next, always play the other magic.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can't play
the other magic. If you can at least get one taco character. Token a day, yeah. you will dramatically increase your chances of
getting the taco of getting token plus 1,500 ISO?
Yeah.
That's well worth it. Which reminds me, I would say, don't save up your taco tokens at this point. I'm a huge fan of hoarding tokens. I love hoarding tokens. But in my primary game, I'm beyond this point, and, you know, I do what I want. At this point, because the taco tokens specifically, if you want to hoard other tokens, I'm more okay with that. But the taco tokens have a chance to yield ISO, they have ISO 8, and hero points, which, you know, can give you that next roster slot, can give you that next level of your character. That, you know, you might not be able to achieve otherwise. So that's something that, and you could have something to look forward to literally every day.
Yeah. And if you ever think, well, I don't need to play those 3 rounds. I don't have the required character. I'm just going to skip the daily Deadpools. You're wrong. You need that ISO. If you have what you think is a lot of ISO right now, just wait. You will need it later. So play the Deadpool daily.
There's some other odds and ends that aren't related to the Deadpool daily, but I'm going to discuss. And these are strictly my opinions because I haven't gotten any feedback from these guys on this. I don't like to level my guys incrementally. Meaning, you know, I don't like to...
The soft cap.
Yeah.
Where you do them all at the same time.
Right. I have to see them at a usable number of covers and then jump them right up to whatever their max is. And in my mind, if your covers are less than 3-3-3, then they're not going to be that effective in combat.
Yeah, for a 3-star, if you don't have at least 8 or 9 covers, keep using your 2-star team.
I agree.
It will be, that's going to be about the break even where the 3-star is going to start doing more damage.
Correct.
Than your 2-star, maxed out 2-star team. So yeah, but once you get 9 covers on your 3-star, get him as high level as you can get him and ride that wave.
Yep.
Yeah, people get really caught up on the scaling thing.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
If you're worried that your 3-star is going to surpass your level 90 whatever 2-star, it's really not going to make that big of a difference.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would not worry too much about scaling at this point. I would also continue to work to champion those 2-stars that we discussed earlier. At the point that we're having this conversation, I'm under the impression that the 2-stars that you have are at level 94. You shouldn't be worried about moving to 3-stars until you've maxed out, you know, at least 3 or 4 of your 2-stars and you're ready to move on to.
Right. You're probably going to have some 3-stars before that.
Sure, of course.
Especially if you have the room in your roster. But yeah, I mean, really, this is what we're looking at is that you have a couple solid 2-star teams.
Right. So, and that is the impression I'm going on. But continue to champion those 2-stars. Don't shy away from that. It gets you a lot of good ISO, a lot of good, heroic tokens. And things of that nature. And some 3-star covers, depending on who you've chosen to go with. So are Craig and I all alone on this? Don't go with the 3-stars? Are you an incremental?
Well, my only thing was that if you have a 3-star that you have, you know, a couple powers for, or you were still fairly low on covers, you can still use them in some of the low fights. There's no reason to not.
I suppose if you just want to pepper, if you want to get a variety, get more acquainted with their powers.
Exactly.
But I'm with myself and with Craig here. A level 94 Thor is going to give you much better production in a fight than, say, a beast that's, you know, 1-4-2.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So you want to, you definitely want to get those 2-stars all the way up in champion.
Yeah.
Before you start focusing on a 3-star that's not complete.
Right.
Completely on board with that.
Right. So, I mean, at this point, now, keeping this in mind, you know, I don't know exactly how many characters you have, and I'm basing a lot of this on the transition that I'm making. At this point, you're going to see your ISO swell. Like, it's going to be, during this transition, before you make it fully, it's going to be higher than it's ever been. I remember being on vacation and Craig telling me, oh my goodness, I didn't even understand what ISO's for in this game. I'm never going to run out of ISO, he tells me.
Now, this is in a day before championing.
Right.
And ISO was a much less required commodity.
Right.
And at one point I had 500,000 ISO.
Yeah.
Just lying around. So I spent it all on tokens, 100 ISO at a time, and bought a large amount of tokens.
Right. And I understand that. I'm making the tradition in that account I have. I have 790,000 ISO.
Wow.
But I'm ready to go. As soon as I see that the covers, when the 3-star cover hits, it goes right in there. It just doesn't hit that frequently. And I get a lot of covers that I've already committed to not using, which I will discuss with you guys next.
Yeah, I'm curious where you're going.
Oh, when you look into the 3-stars, again, I'm basing this on the fact that I feel like you're going to have limited roster space.
Right.
And you're going to plan on having 4-stars in the future. So there are 3-stars that I have recruited that I never use. While they're perfectly adequate characters or even okay characters or bad characters, I've gotten to the point where I've committed so much to them, I feel it's like really hard for me to just sell them away at this point.
Right.
And I wish it hadn't gotten to that point.
Mm, sure.
Like, I'm sure there are strategies and probably someone out there who plays and maybe even enjoys the Sentry. Man, I wish I didn't have the Sentry, but I can't let him go because I have him at, you know, 544. And I feel like I've already sank so many covers and so much ISO into him that selling him just to free up a roster slot, boy, that just makes I feel guilty. And then, you know, the same thing is true for a lot of people who are decent, but I don't ever use. You know, I feel similarly about She-Hulk and about Psylocke and Spider-Man at times. So, you know what you're getting into with 3-star characters. Like I said, look them up. Take a little time to read.
Well, yeah, I would say target maybe half a dozen of them that you have researched and said, boy, these
I would say more than that. I would say a dozen.
When you're first starting out?
Oh, sure. When you're first starting out,
find like the half a dozen you want to go and sell all the rest. Like as you get them and you, oh, look, it's a vision cover. Just dump it.
Right.
Get the ISO and save your roster slots for the 3-stars that will really get your life going.
I think so. I think that's fair. I mean, I understand the desire to want to recruit all the 3-stars.
Oh, that's where I'm at. I'm in a mode where I decided that I need all the characters. but I've been way past the
right again. But make a stable base, a good foundation,
exactly,
and then you can build on that and do this. Like there are some 3 stars that I'm still really working on trying to get up to snuff because I just their covers came late or for whatever reason I never had them. I wish I had a level 166 Luke Cage that I could shuffle around his powers and give a try, but it just hasn't happened. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that, like I said, I do have a maxed out Sentry, and I'm like, oh, what a waste. I do have a maxed out Quicksilver, and I'm like, ugh. So, and again, I don't want to try to influence you too much. Like the 2 stars, there's a few that I think, you should heavily consider that I would not consider moving forward without. From what I'm told, Luke Cage is one of them.
Greatest character ever.
From what I feel, I think Cyclops is one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that Scarlet Witch is one of them.
Absolutely.
I think that 3-star Steve Rogers, Captain America, is one of them.
Woo-hoo.
And, there's several others. As you become you will learn as your play style changes and you get into the game longer that certain abilities may or may not have more value than you once, thought. When I started playing the game, other than him being an interesting character from the comics, I was like, oh no, I keep getting the hood covers. And this guy never gets good because he doesn't do any direct damage. And that's all I understood. The hood is excellent. He is one of my favorite characters. His ability to steal AP passively, his ability to reduce countdown tiles while doing damage is good. And his big damage output while clearing a good portion of the board is excellent.
Love
it. Yeah. So as you get better, rethink some of the characters that you may not have.
With that one, be a little careful if he's one of the first ones you start to put into. He is fragile.
Oh, he's super fragile.
So you always want to have someone bigger than him to take the colors that he uses.
Right. Yeah, I think he has the least amount of hit points of any.
He's pretty fragile.
He's right up there with Mohawk.
If you're trying to make yellow matches and things to fire off his pistols, boy, you better have someone else
stronger with yellow.
Who's stronger in yellow so that they can take that damage.
Captain America,
for example. Again, not the best of characters, but I would also consider the Hulk, if for no other reason. There is a Hulk PvE event that comes around every couple cycles, and you just get a free Hulk cover.
As we like to talk, when things like Galactus comes rolling around, Ultron, you're going to want Hulk.
Yeah, his anger and his Thunderous Clap and anger
anger channeling into Thunderous Clap is useful over and over and over again in those events. Just make sure he's your highest going into that fight. Let him take the damage. Let him explode anger on the board. And that will serve you well.
Right.
Many times.
The problem with that is everybody, correct me if I'm wrong, but everybody seems to get Green Hulk more than any other color.
Yes. That's the cover that you get in the Hulk PvE event.
Right.
Anger
is a hard time to get all of them.
Took me forever to get the black.
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. So take from that what you will. Really all I was saying was, it's not the end of the world if you have to sell off a 3-star cover for 500 ISO if you don't have a roster slot for it. It'll come back around.
Right.
Here is also something in that same being conservative vein. Your command points. I say stockpile them. I don't know if this is controversial or not, but again, I'm coming from a point of view where I'm trying to conserve my roster slots. We're just trying to really get you from 2-star to 3-star at this point. As far as I know, command points don't expire. No reason not to sit on them and let them build up, because you're, unlike the 3-star, you're not going to want to throw away a 4-star cover.
Right.
You're going to want to do whatever you can to make room for that. And, that's guaranteed 4 or 5 is what you're going to get with opening, buying legendary tokens with command points. So, and what I'm getting at here is, if you have, say, you open one, you go, oh, great, I got a Star-Lord. Fine, he's a decent character, but a Star-Lord with 1 purple cover is never going to do you any good.
Right.
Not where you are right now. So there's no reason to have him permanently filling a roster slot that you're never going to be able to free back up because you couldn't wait to open that legendary token or spend those command points. So don't rush it. You'll get to the 4 stars sooner than you think.
Well, and you're going to accidental into some of them from opening taco tokens and things. So keep those on your roster.
Yes.
But hoard all the command points until you have a really, really strong 3-star team.
Right.
And are ready to have the roster slots to go to 4-star and 5-star.
If you have a few, like 4 or 5 4-stars, and you think, well, I can open some legendary tokens and and nope. build them up a little. No, you're not. You're going to get more single yeah. cover four-star.
I mean, the game at this point, the developers are only making 4 and 5-star characters. There's going to be 2 a month. You're just going to keep getting ones you don't have, yeah. and you're going to have 25 characters with 1 cover.
Yeah.
Don't do this. At this point in time, just hoard them. If you get 1,000 command points, great, because once your 3-star team is solid and you're mowing down with it and you've got lots of hero points to buy slots, then you can go on a 4-star and 5-star cover opening, you know, spree.
Absolutely.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun, and I wish I could do it.
Yeah, and it'll all come around and you will benefit in the long term. If you haven't done this already, or if you got a starter one and are looking to upgrade now, get into an active alliance. I can't stress that enough. An active alliance is going to motivate you to play harder and try harder. They are going to support you when you ask for covers and or team up helps. They are going to, you know, boost the amount of, you're going to get free ISO every day just for being in that alliance if the other members are also active.
Right. Whenever you get your daily supply drop, there's a number of ISO that you get. And it basically, it's 10 ISO per alliance member who has played in the last day.
Right.
And you should be in an alliance where you're getting like 180 to 200 every day.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal.
An active alliance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, somewhere in the 150 to 200 right. range would be, I would say, acceptable. And it's also going to benefit you during seasons with the simulator and PvP, because right. the more they play, the better rewards as an alliance you're going to receive, and that's going to help you speed along the way. And when there are alliance-based events like Ultron or Galactus or anything new like that that's coming down the pipe where you have to have your whole alliance contributing as much as possible.
Right.
You're just going to find it's an all-around better gaming experience.
Well, in that same vein, find all your friends on Facebook who play Puzzle Quest and make sure that you have them friended, because you will get rewards pouring in.
Oh, right.
From Facebook friends.
Yeah, definitely do not shy away from that, because they already play and you're already on Facebook. So just add each other. Say yes, you know, or ask your alliance members if you can add them as Facebook friends, if for only that purpose. Because an extra, you know, 1-star, 70 ISO, 140 ISO, you know, you just, it all adds up. And the more you can get for nothing, for doing nothing, the better. Mm-hmm. So yes, please reach out to the people in your alliance and your already existing friends.
At least talk to them into making it. I'm a Facebook hater. I resisted it for 40 years.
No, you didn't.
I finally broke down and made a Facebook account for the sheer reason of playing Marvel Puzzle Quest.
That's a true story. Except for the 40 years part. I mean,
Facebook
avoided itself for 30 of those 40 years.
It's been around longer than a decade, right?
Could be. I don't know. I don't like to be reminded.
You may have any idea what your Facebook's like?
I didn't do any research on Facebook before having this conversation.
Yeah, I'd like to believe.
In any case, up until a year ago, I avoided Facebook like the plague.
I'd like to believe that it's new, but it's not.
And it's easy enough, if you friend people in your alliance, it's easy enough to unfriend them later if you leave the alliance. And it's also easy enough that if they're, you know, a completely different political slant and are flooding your Facebook.
Just hide them from your...
You can just hide them.
Post.
Yeah. Yep. Just do it for the game, man.
Seriously. Make the sacrifice. Oh, okay. And then that tells me about the offerings that the game has for you to participate in. Again, I say focus. If they're running a cool PvE and a good PvP event, pick one. If you know, because again, I'm assuming you have a smaller roster and your characters, you're going to have a small number of really viable characters. So you're going to burn up your health packs if you're trying to divide their attentions between and your attentions between two things. The more you can focus on one thing, the higher you can place, the better rewards you can get, and the faster you're going to move up. PvE tends to get you more
storyline.
Get you storyline, which is incredible, which is, I don't want to say incredibly, but surprisingly well written for a match, for a game which is essentially Candy Crush with Marvel painted over the top of it. The stories are excellent. So, you know, they're worth reading, and I guess you can just hop into PvE at any time. You don't have to worry about the level of people. You know, you can just grind to your heart's content. I've seen people with far worse rosters than mine place much higher than me in PvE events because they are willing to play longer and more frequently.
Yep. The only thing I would say is, though, on two things. One, even if you decide you want to stick to the storyline event, if a PvP opens, play those first 3 matches of every PvP get the 101 points.
Sure.
Get the ISO. Just get in the event, and at least you'll get the reward for playing.
Sure.
And some points.
But in general, again, if you find a nice PvP where perhaps maybe one of the guys that you do like is boosted,
right,
and you think you can make a good showing, play it. Because at this level, you know, you're going to be in a nice, you know, middle of the road competitive slice with people similar powers to you. And PvP, I feel like when you're making this transition, that's where you're going to find the most benefit, in my opinion. Because the top 100 people are getting at least one 3-star cover guaranteed. Right. And the better you place, the more of that particular character you're going
to get. Yeah, the PvP's got me some of my big boosts early on in the game because, yeah, when you're lower level like that, you're in a slice that's of other people around your same level. If you can finish at the top, I mean, I got a huge boost of, I don't know, what, 3-4 Daredevil covers?
Yeah.
Something all at once.
Right.
Because I finished at the top of a PvP.
Right.
And my roster was not very good, but I had Daredevil. I had gotten a couple covers for him. And suddenly he went from me having, like, 3 covers for him to, like, 7 covers for him. And the next, like, so he was my tank for a while.
Sure.
Because I had all 3 of his powers, and he was quite usable. And it's a good boost.
Right.
If you get one, you can use.
Right. If you don't have that person, that PvP event and getting that cover is going to unlock, give you access to them in the upcoming Deadpool dailies, which will let you slowly build the person over time. So,
right, because if you don't have them in the PvP, you get a free one to use.
Absolutely. Even if you don't have the character, they will give you one that has access to all 3 of its abilities at its base level, and you can, you know, you'll still be able to successfully. And getting that first cover, get your foot in the door for the, you know, ever popular.
It's nice that a lot of times that'll let you experiment with those characters and see if you like them or not. And you're like, you know what? I hate this character. And you're always like, I'm just sell those covers anytime you get them then if you find one you don't like.
So when did you start playing? When I started out, I was only doing storyline, the PvE events. I didn't start playing PvP until I think I had a really solid 2-star roster.
Same. I was intimidated by PvP in the beginning.
I really didn't want to jump into a player versus player when I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
I didn't want to embarrass myself. As it turns out, it doesn't matter. You're still only fighting the computer. You're just going up against other people's roster.
I mean, it was in this transition time when I was making the 2-to-3-star transition change is when I started playing PvPs, especially the ones that came up when, if it had a 3-star character that I had, that I wanted to try to boost up more or something, that, you know, the reward was going to be more covers for that person or whatever, I would try and play those and see, because if you finish aiming the top 20, normally you get something really good.
Right.
Well, even in the top 100, you're looking at getting a good cover.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and honestly, in the top 200, you're probably going to get another cover for your already 2-stars, so you can continue the championing
process.
Yeah!
Because extra Thor covers, because those come up quite often.
They do.
In the 100 to 200 award. Man, they're solid gold every time.
Yeah, but it's going to push you to
2-star Thor is the bomb.
Yeah, and he'll dish out some 3-star Thors so that you can start building that as well.
Yep.
That's true. Once you get champions, 2-star champions,
you're going to get some 3-stars.
Yeah, you automatically get 3-star. Like, for Thor, you're going to get the 3-star Thor.
Right.
When you champion that character. That's going to help as well. Just building up your 2s.
Absolutely. Okay, some still straightforward stuff, but a little less straightforward stuff. In the PvP simulator season tab, you'll occasionally see something called a lightning round. It is unbelievably hard to place high in a lightning round.
I agree with that totally.
I know only a few people who have even gotten, you know, the top, like, what, the top 100 get a lightning round token.
I don't remember.
I can count
like
on like one hand the number
those
of people I know that have earned a lightning round token.
Yeah.
Let alone placed high. That I know personally. I'm sure there have been countless people who do every time. Long story longer, lots of easy ISO up for grabs.
Yeah.
In the early rounds of a lightning round. Get in there, play it, and you will see your ISO increase much faster.
Get in it right when it starts.
That's the key.
Yeah.
If you see a lightning round when it starts, and you see that, oh, it's got, you know, 7 minutes till it starts, jump in right away. You'll get a dozen easy fights.
Yep.
As opposed to most PvP events where you get 3 easy fights. You'll keep seeing these easy fights over and over and over again until that lightning round really kicks in. And if when it does start kicking in, you're placed really high, you can try and continue running with it, but just I wouldn't keep my expectations too high. They're just really hard to place high in.
Right.
By the way, these are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the day. Well, I guess it's all day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't kept track of the schedule.
Oh, I didn't know that they were just midweek.
Yes, they're only midweek.
Wow! Check. All right, that is what I have my official learning so far.
But even if you're not placing, like we said, that the ISO that you can get from a lightning round, it's just 70, 140. It doesn't look like a whole lot, but you can get them so frequently because these little battles take very little amount of time.
Well, you get 10 of them done. I mean,
right?
Yeah,
an extra 1,000 ISO,
and since they're
nice in the pocket,
since they're easy battles, you're not skipping them. So you're getting that 30 ISO bonus on every fight. So it's actually not 70, 140, but 100, 170, etc. So it actually is a reasonable amount of ISO fairly quickly.
I agree. Similarly, here is something that I have found, but it's very theoretical. So by all means, correct me if I'm wrong.
This is like a life pro tip, this one?
This kind of. They run some PvP events in between seasons. Most alliances and veteran players work very hard during the season to get their season total up as high as possible so that they finish as high as possible, which will yield the best possible, you know, rewards. These in-between ones that generally aren't themed around one character, but themed around a group of characters, or, you know, or a style of character, so, you know, sometimes Balance of Power, or Women of Marvel, or
Earth's Mightiest. What's the one that's all the gods?
Yeah. I don't know. Asgardians and Norseans unite.
I don't remember. Yeah, there's one that's all god-type characters, but in any case.
Anyway, so it'll be a group of characters that are boosted instead of just one singular person. These usually, by that I mean always, do not add at all to your season total. So a lot of the more competitive and a lot of the veteran players, I don't know, I feel like they're very apathetic about these ones and often take a little break. Like, this is their time to, you know, relax, play some leisurely puzzle quests, or check back in with their MMOs or whatever other game that they're hung up on. So the slices you can get in aren't nearly as competitive as they are, and this is a good chance for you to earn some 3-star covers and some better finishes. So don't shy away from those. I would definitely give them a chance. Plus, since it involves a group, there's a good chance that you'll have at least one person from that group that's boosted, and it'll give you, you know, better ability to participate in the PvP. So yes, in between season events, check them out. They are worth your time and could offer you that little extra nudge that you have been looking for. Oh, something that we have been discussing, and everybody discusses this, is, you know, who they believe the most powerful and most useful 3-stars are, you know, and I guess the least. I don't want to, you know, say anything is definitively the least, because I don't want to, other than Bagman, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. I know people, you know, enjoy Marvel and they read the comics and they come in and want to be, you know, involved in those characters that they already love, whether or not they are the best. So, you know, that's something to take into consideration. But I feel like rather than do individual lists, I feel like collectively we could probably come up with a top 5 or a top 10 that you really, I would say, you know, I don't want to say definitively the best, but they're not someone who, if I got that cover, I would be at all okay with throwing it away. And some of the people we've already discussed, and I think we all agree, Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage is definitely on that list. There's no question.
One of the best.
We mentioned Luke Cage,
Steve Rogers.
Gotta have Scarlet Witch.
Cyclops.
Absolutely. You have to have Cyclops.
Yeah.
Black Panther, super strong.
Yeah, but he is, and he's one of my favorite characters, but I'm not sure he's making the top 10. I'm just...
Really?
Yeah. I'm just not sure. His Rage of the Panther is incredible, but it takes so long to charge.
Yeah, that's true.
12 isn't that bad.
It isn't. And again, I'm just not sure. He might be number 11 or number 12.
If you can get some... if you want to team him up with some Iron Fist, because Iron Fist is in my top 5. Iron Fist will make you black like there's no tomorrow.
I would say Iron Fist is definitely in the list. So if you have an Iron Fist, then Black Panther becomes a lot more viable. I love using the two of them together.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've always liked, you know, again, if you have him appropriately covered. Again, I wouldn't sink too heavily into Black Panther if you don't have black for him.
Oh, yeah. Right. The black cover
is... Black power is a make or break. Yeah. The other two powers build on your, you know, strength and defense to make that even more effective. But Black Panther is also, he's one of my favorites. I love him and I highly recommend him.
Okay. Deadpool, I think, has to be on the list.
Yeah. First, because again, at his higher levels, his red power does, you know, for 6, You're looking at an easy 3,000 damage.
Yeah, that's a good shot. On a side note with Deadpool, something that's not documented anywhere. The first time you start playing with Deadpool when you win a match, you're going to get this mystery screen that shows up and tells you, hey, you acquired some Deadpool points.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, this isn't mentioned anywhere in the game, really. It just kind of happens. Every day, if you win a match with Deadpool, you will acquire X minis of these points. It seems to be an arbitrary total.
Somewhere between, like, 2,500 and 3,500, somewhere.
Yeah. After you build up to some number, which I've already forgotten what 20, it is.
28,000, I think?
Once you get to the set number, if you're playing a match with Deadpool and you go to fire off whales, 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 it will ask you a question and say, hey, do you want to fire all the whales? Or do you just want to fire whatever level of whales you currently have? Right. So even if you only have 1 point in whales, 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 if you have enough Deadpool points, it's going to come up and say, hey, do you want to drop a sail of all the whales?
Right.
What this does is causes something insane, and a million points of damage or something.
Oh, I just assumed, I thought it was an insta-kill.
It is, but it's actually a set number of points of damage.
Okay.
I was reading an article. I don't remember what it is. It's not a million. It's like 100,000.
Okay.
That a high enough level 5 star can actually take a whales, whales, whales now and survive.
Oh, that's wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where you are in the game.
Well, that's that. Yeah. Now that I don't want to get too far into this.
A whales, whales, whales for you where you're playing now is an instant win.
Right.
So if there's if you're playing the PvE mode, the storyline mode, and there's one match that you are stuck on, get into it with Deadpool if you can. Focus on purple. Drop all the whales on them. You automatically will win that match, and you can just move on.
Yeah.
And it costs you 28,000 of those Deadpool points to do.
Yeah.
So since you get 2,000 to 3,000, or somewhere around 3,000 points a day, that means you're going to have to accrue these points over several days in order to have enough. I think I have like 100,000 or so Deadpool points right now, because I haven't used the Mega Whales attack since the last. I don't think I've used it since the last
the
Ultron
Gauntlet
event. It was the Gauntlet. Yeah,
yeah. Gauntlet sees whales, whales, whales.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because Gauntlet can get ferociously hard.
It can. But yeah, now see, you've got me thinking about this with a high enough level old man Logan with some projectiles on the board with Daisy's ability to lower the.
They're going to take the whales.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But like where you are in the 2 to 3 star transition,
absolutely.
if you get stuck and you've got some whales power on Deadpool. Deadpool can bail you out with a properly placed whole pot of whales to fall on your opponent's head.
I think that Kamala Khan is one of the best characters. I would never sell one of hers.
If you can team her up with someone who's got cheap powers, you can go to town. Like, again, Deadpool's red power is cheap.
Yep.
I like using her with Gamora a lot.
Sure.
Because Gamora's sword chop is so cheap.
Right.
But Iron Fist, who's already on the list, his purple is really cheap.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think Gamora would make my top 10, however.
Right.
She would not be my top 10, but it's just a combo of 2 or 3 swords.
Blade, however, solidly in my top 10.
I do like Blade a lot. He was also one of the first characters I had a lot of covers for.
Yep.
He's another one. He was my second one after Daredevil that I finished very well in a PvP for. I got a bunch of covers for him all at once, and then he became my rock star for, real long time.
Sure.
I don't know if they make my top 10, but some honorable mentions. Storm, Magneto.
Magneto does make my top 10.
Thor.
You don't even have him champion.
That doesn't mean he's not one of the best.
So, yeah, when you fight against Magneto in any of the, like a PvP event.
Kill him fast.
His blue power is so devastating. So, yeah, he's very...
Or make sure there are no red or no blue on the board. If there's lacking of one of those colors...
He doesn't really do very much damage.
You can be a little bit mindful, but I mean, and to your point, having them championed or not does not reflect in their quality in any way. You have, your highest character is Vision. I barely have him in my top 40.
Yeah, well, that was purely by accident because I got a pile of Vision covers.
Yeah, purely by accident.
I don't.
Am I missing anybody that's glaring?
That's super good.
I went down the list, and I think we covered everybody who's on my top.
Yeah, on the fringe of the list.
We didn't mention a Hulk the second time when we started going through this.
He's not a top tenner for me.
You don't think so?
No.
He's incredibly useful.
Lazy Thor can do a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah, Lazy Thor for sure.
He can do a lot of damage.
Your 3-star Thor is exactly like your 2-star Thor, but does more damage.
Yeah, I mean, you never go wrong with a property place called the Storm. I mean, it's just...
And chances are you're going to get some free Thor covers from your 2-star Thor, so you might as well look into
it. Yeah, I mean, everyone should always have invested in 2-star Thor, in my opinion, so you're going to get some free 3-star Thor.
So you're saying he's not necessarily in the top 10, he's just that's just a default. You're just gonna have four.
Yeah, you're good. Gonna. You're good. Just gonna have no, three star Thor.
Oh, as of recently, in my opinion,
he's probably top 10 three star character.
Unless I've used up all my top 10 claims. Gracie Black Widow.
Really?
Oh, she's good.
Sniper Shot is a game changer.
At level 5, it is.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes, and it hurts everyone.
Right.
Then you're doing 3,000 plus damage to their entire team. The amount of green and critical tiles that you can generate with her purple attack, unbelievable.
She is very powerful. She is not powerful until you get her at a high level.
Correct.
When you don't have her fully covered, she's not.
Correct. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'd play her much at all with less than 12 covers, probably.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as effective. But,
so that's why I wouldn't put her in the top 10, just because she's not one of the ones that I would try and get away.
Right. You're right. I can see that.
Once she's fully covered, I completely agree. You throw her out with Wanda to make purple, that will in turn charge her.
You mean Vision's wife?
Vision's wife.
You mean Magneto's daughter?
Quicksilver's sister.
I know, right, Magneto's not Quicksilver's sister. You know, that chick. If that joke makes no sense, rewind a whole bunch of episodes and come back to this.
Now see, like, personally, I would love to throw Doctor Doom in that list.
Me but too, buddy.
I can't.
Not that
personal. He's awesome in the comics. He's good in the game.
Right.
And Summon Demons really bites my butt some days when I'm not expecting it.
Yeah.
The whole board is just filled with tiles and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
if ever we needed a redone character, Doctor Doom 5-star is my pick. I want a 5-star Doctor Doom.
Sure. I'm okay with that.
But yeah, the 3-star is just, he's just not there.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of other ones that are, you know, just outside the list, but are good. Like we said, Gamora's good. Beast is good. None of them are, you know, blow my mind like these other people we've been discussing. Craig loves Rocket and Groot. I think they're bums.
They have the best healing, hands down, in the game.
Yeah.
Rocket and Groot can go from having 100 hit points to 15,000 hit points in one yellow move.
Yeah, they could, but...
And have for me, I've won so many PvPs just by the sheer fact that they could not kill Rocket and Groot.
Bah.
I lose Rocket and Groot so often, I can't agree with that.
I agree.
Nope. Love Rocket and Groot.
Bullseye is fine.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at the ones that I would say always... Just dump immediately. Sentry's
a bum. God, yeah, on the total flip side of that. Now we're moving away from the top 10.
Yeah.
And we are moving, I would say, well, this is the bottom 5. This is the bottom 5 of the, and I would definitely put Sentry on there.
Colossus is not good.
Colossus is just fine. He's not a bottom 5 for me. Not even close.
Who else is in your bottom 5?
Right now.
Spider-Man's not great.
Spider-Man.
He's okay.
Vision, Punisher, and Sentry.
Psylocke's not very good.
Psylocke, too, for sure. She might take Spider-Man's place. I like him a little more than I like Psylocke.
As much as Ray hates Squirrel Girl, she's not in the bottom 5.
Oh,
she's kind of in the middle.
She's perfectly adequate.
I dislike her animation. Yeah, as a character,
I would say she's in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
those are
the only ones that I think
I can't count the number of times that I have sold Sentry covers. Like, it's...
Yeah.
There's just so many times.
Right.
And if I had an open roster slot, I would roster him just because you got one, I had an open spot. And then immediately somebody else would come along and be like, oh, I can make room for them by selling off this Sentry cover.
He's just your placeholder.
Yeah, he was just a placeholder that made me feel better that all my roster slots were filled.
Which you can do, but one thing to mention with that is...
Don't add covers to them.
As soon as you put two covers, like every cover individually sold, a 3-star is going to be worth 500 ISO. As soon as you roster Sentry and with one cover and you go to sell it, it's worth 500. If he has two covers in there, he is not worth 1,000.
He's worth 500.
Yeah.
He's still worth 500. Yeah.
You're instantly going to be losing out on your ISO.
Right.
So that's why, you know, that's why we're saying pick and choose his character.
Did we mention Ragnarok?
No. He's controversial. I put him in my bottom because I find him confusing. But again, I put a lot of people there when I find them confused.
Yeah,
like, just outside of the fringe, like, I never use Mystique. I'm sure she's good, but I can't find a purpose for her in my heart.
Man, if you can go get her, if you can get her to shapeshift and then shoot you full of Uzis.
Yeah. That's
or Uzis can do a pile of damage. The shapeshift is nice because it does stun.
And it steals.
It steals. Oh,
she's not bad.
She's good. It's just, I never feel a reason to use her.
Same thing.
But,
I agree with
But I'm not a good gauge for that because I rarely feel the need to use almost all the characters.
Right. And I like to try out different characters, like, especially when someone introduces me to a good combo.
Like I said, I am determined that I am going to try this Kamala Khan with Ragnarok combo. I'm determined to try this team and make it go now that I've championed up my Ragnarok just for that.
Oh, you haven't championed?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I did that this week. That's to the consternation of all the rest of our listeners who
griped
and moaned and yelled at me a lot because I got champion Iron Man first. Iron Man is next on my list. I have about 40,000 ISO. I think I need 100 grand to get Iron Man leveled up. So he'll be my next 3-star champion.
Yeah.
So that'll be later this week.
There's a quick summary of our 3-star opinions. You know, it's obviously not complete, but I feel like...
One thing I want to throw out is you will see a lot of, I don't know, arguments on forums. If you luck or, in your opinion, unlock into a 5-star or something while you're in this transition, some people claim you should sell it.
No.
Other people say you should keep it. I'm in the second boat.
Keep it, of course.
You're going to hear people complain about how the scaling is going to ruin your game. I would not worry about that so much. I mean, obviously, this depends on the 5-star, but my wife got a Silver Surfer with the red power really early on in her game. It turns out she used him to tank constantly. So it's him and 2 2-stars, and he tanks almost every color.
Right.
And he's got a big pile of hit points, even because he starts out at level 250.
255? Something like that.
255.
I thought you had to level him at 255.
Nope. 255.
Because I know I've leveled him.
You leveled him up to 270.
270. Oh, yeah. You can go to 270. So I would never get rid of a 5-star that comes up. You might not really be able to use them. You might be able to use them to tank just to take damage.
I was going
to
say, I am, even in my 3 to 4-star transition, I have Old Man Logan with 1 yellow cover. Man, if I have someone in a 3-star situation that has powers that overlap his, and he can stand in front
and just take damage.
Damage and automatically heal while I'm powering up Cyclops to hit people with Optic Blast.
That's his regen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yellow, your goal, because now we're talking about the characters that you could team up with the Hood and have him tag that yellow for you.
Sure.
Cyclops good, who's going to use the yellow to convert to red, and then you're going to do your big damage strike.
Selling a 5-star sounds like folly to me.
I would never sell a 5-star or a 4-star. I just couldn't do it.
No. They're just...
I would find a roster slot for them somehow. If you've got to dump somebody, then you've got to dump somebody.
Yep.
But like I said, don't spend your legendary tokens to get some, but you're going to accident into some from taco tokens, but I would always keep them.
I agree. Absolutely agree. I'm satisfied in what I've offered to our listeners thus far. If they have any specific questions, would you like to tell them how to reach us?
Sure. If you have any questions and want them to be answered, you can go to puzzlewarriors3.com, leave a question in the discuss feature. It is just a comment section on the webpage. You can also reach us on Twitter. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/puzzlewarriors3.
You can send us an email. Our email addresses are on the website.
Right. Our email addresses are on our about page, or we do pay attention whenever we post anything to the subreddit Marvel Puzzle Quest on reddit.com. We do pay attention to the comments that exist on there.
Right.
So you can reach us in any of those ways.
Okay. That's an awful lot of venues to get our attention.
Yeah.
And we will make a genuine effort to respond both directly and via another podcast or another episode of this very same podcast.
That's much more likely.
That is. But, you know, again, if it's something like, hey, I'm doing this, help me. And be like, okay, here, do this. But yes, if you do tune into our podcast regularly, that will make it even more likely that we will say your name aloud and pay direct attention to you.
Pay attention to me.
Oh, no. I've never taken us out before. I don't know what to do.
Tell me about the podcast network.
Oh, no. That's have to plug the podcast network during a special?
Absolutely.
Oh, curse them. They can all go pound sand.
You're bringing it back.
I am. I'm totally bringing it back. We are part of the soon-to-be-named podcast network. You can check us out at soon-to-be-named-network@tumblr.com.
Or .tumblr.com.
.tumblr.com. I'm mourning. There's some other fine shows on there. There is Long Box Heroes, which is a comic book show. There is the Prodigal Sons podcast, which is an adult language heavy variety show. There's the Fresher in Parlance live YouTube show. And there is the Podvocacy pop culture show. So you can tune into any of those shows on the soon to be named network. And again, you can find the link through our webpage, puzzlewarriors3.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like when I tried to say the Crash of the Titans and I screwed it up
goodness.
16 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got for this special episode.
So. Hopefully,
if we missed something wasn't clear, yell at us a lot. We'll correct it on the next podcast.
Sure. Hopefully this helps you out And, you know, don't be so nervous about making the 2 to 3 star transition. It will all come together in time. Patience is a virtue, my friends, especially in the world of Marvel Puzzle Quest.
This is where Ray's going to insert Guns N' Roses singing Patience. I can't whistle it or I would do it.
Okay. Yeah, my whistle's broke.
Little patience.
Right.
That's all I got.
Yeah. All right.
Good night.
Yeah, tune in for one of our regular episodes and stay tuned as the three of us start to make the 3 to 4 star transition. Just we'll try to have another special show for you.
It's hard to see with so many of and I don't want to be stuck in the ground and the streets all change my mind.
My goodness, it's like I got a free ticket to Coachella this year. It's amazing.
I need.
All right. Good night, friends.
Good night.